Let us join together in prayer as we ask the Holy Spirit to illumine our hearts. God of extravagant grace, may your Spirit refresh our hearts through the reading of the Scriptures, that we may perceive all the good we can do for Christ, and so grow in our faith toward our Lord Jesus. Amen. Today's Old Testament reading is found in the book of Psalms, Psalm 91. The psalmist speaks of our assurance that God will protect us. Let us listen to the word of the Lord together. You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, "My refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, or the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, no scourge come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all ways. On their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Those who love me I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name, and when they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. With long life, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation. This is the word of the Lord. And this morning, we continue a sermon series from the first letter of John. And today, we read from chapter 3, verses 16 to 24. In this particular passage, John reminds us that Christ abides in us, which should compel us to love others. Let us listen to the word of God together. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this, we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. And all who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given to us. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, if you have been attending worship as we've read through 1 John, you should be able to discern that the letter of John is all about love in the context of God's love for us and our love for God and others. Jesus spent a lot of time among God's people talking about love and demonstrating ways to love God's people. Now, we might argue about Christian doctrine with one another, but I pray that we should at least be able to agree that love is an important commandment that has been made by God, enacted by Jesus, and fulfilled by us through the work of the Holy Spirit. Commandments to love God and others have been revealed to God's people since the beginning of creation. In the Ten Commandments, 10 laws are divided between commandments that teach us how to love God and commandments that teach us how to love God's people. Now, these commandments or guidelines were established by God not as a way to scare us into obedience, but to lead us into a way of living in which we affirm the importance of our relationships with God and with one another. Well, since creation, God's people have struggled to be in a right relationship with God and with one another. We aren't the first to fight over trivial matters or ethical issues. It's been happening since the beginning of time. And as we know, when God's people were unable to sort their life out into a way in which they led first with love, God sent prophets and kings, leaders, to guide God's people towards a better orientation of love. And when God-given commandments and God-ordained prophets failed to keep God's people in right relationships, God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to live among us and show us, by word and deed, the most important commandment of love. Love God and love our neighbors as God loves us. When Christ rose to authority in heaven, God's people were filled with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, enabling all of us to continue to lead lives pleasing to God, where we love others as Christ loves us. So it makes me feel like it's about time that we've got this love commandment all figured out, right? It seems like the ability to love God and our neighbors should be clearly evident in our own lives and in the life of the church universal. I mean, how long have believers been talking about this commandment to love? Well, most days it's difficult to find any evidence that God's people are leading their lives with the love that John describes in this letter. And I know that's not exactly an introduction that leads with praise for God's people or God's churches, but sometimes a preacher just has to call it as it is. Even today, in the year 2021, God's people, you and I still can't seem to create a life that leads with love for others. Maybe it's because we struggle with the truth that God could love us so completely, even with our own brokenness. I mean, some days it's just mind-boggling to even understand that God would love us so deeply, so completely. I don't know about you, but most days I feel so unworthy of God's love. I wake up, and then there's times where I allow the world around me to define my worth. Maybe there are those of you who struggle with me and resting securely in the sure and certain knowledge that God loves us all unconditionally. That is, of course, if we are even stopping to think about God, because how many of us have overscheduled ourselves and our children and our families with a flurry of work, activities, and events to the point that we just don't have time outside of Sunday worship to think about our relationship with God. Understandably, we might wonder why God would love us when God knows that we do not remain obedient to God's desires. And yet God knows our loves and our longings. God hears our confessions and is aware of our dreams as well as our sins. The world around us may judge us by our actions, but God judges us by the content of our hearts. Perfect knowledge of our hearts belongs to God and God alone, and this is not our terror, but our hope, We find hope and not fear in the knowledge that God knows us all together and also loves us all together. In this passage, John says God's love abides in us. It's the same word that Jesus used when he described himself as the vine. We talked about that during the season of Lent. And Jesus told his disciples that the only way that they could produce fruit or show love for another was in their ability to abide in him. Abide means to live or dwell or remain. To abide is to remain constantly with the source of location. It's also good for us to maybe understand what the opposite of abide means, which is to move or reject or abandon. It is so important that we understand that God abides in us. God's love never leaves us nor forsakes us. And this promise is meant not for us to believe with our ears, but to believe with our hearts and minds and souls. When we learn to believe in the promise that God will never, ever stop loving us, our outward expression of this is evidenced in the way that we love others. We yearn to love others in the same way God loves us when we claim that God abides in us. It comes naturally for us to love others because God loves us. We'll get to what that love of others means in our individual and church relationships next week, but today I want us to dwell a bit more on the understanding that God abides in us, in each of us. I'll say this, it's important for us to embrace and believe that God abides or lives within us, but even more important than that is understanding that God abides in every person around us. It's so important that we acknowledge and see Christ abide in the life of another human being, because when we remember this, we begin to treat others as Christ would treat them. Way before we can transform the way in which we interact with God's people, we have to acknowledge what it means God abides in us. And what it means is that we have to acknowledge that God loves us. Why is it so important that we acknowledge God loves and abides in us? Well, I think there are two reasons that it's important. One, it requires us to be honest and upfront with the amount of time that we are giving to abide in God. And secondly, it should compel us to remember that God abides in the people all around us. But for a moment, let's begin with this first reason. I mean, if we know that God abides in us, we should abide in God. How much personal time are we really spending dwelling in the Word of God or praying to God or studying Scripture, some of the things that were mentioned in the children's chat? How much time are we spending where we can focus on God? The Westminster Shorter Catechism, one of many confessions adopted by our denomination, states, "The chief end of God's people is to glorify God and enjoy God forever." And yet, how often do we organize our life around glorifying and enjoying God? How is this reflected in our daily lives? Well, I know that I'm guilty of making too many other things more important on a daily basis than worshiping God. I have too many mornings when I wake up and my first thought is to check social media or to check my emails rather than praising God. And if I'm being truly honest, I spend too many evenings dulled by the voices on the television than embracing a moment of quietness where I can reflect on God's goodness and faithfulness, where I can abide in God. Does that sound familiar? God's people for too long have been living the world's ways rather than God's ways. We failed to say no to others so that we could say yes to God. We failed to abide in God over and over again. And it's time we confess. Ask God to renew our hearts and start living our lives, glorifying God more and our personal interests less. And friends, I feel passionate about what I'm saying because there is clear evidence that our inability to abide fully in God is breaking down our ability to be in relationship with others. Which leads to my second reason. Because we've stopped abiding in God, we have failed to remember that God abides in the people around us. And if we were to remember this, well, I'm convinced that we would treat people better. One of my favorite things to do while I'm cooking is to put on a podcast and listen. Now, if you aren't familiar with what a podcast is, well, it's a recorded audio file. It's like listening to the radio, but it's recorded so you can go back and listen to it multiple times. So one of my favorite podcasts is hosted by Annie F. Downs, and her podcast is called That Sounds Fun. Remember this, Annie F. Downs, That Sounds Fun. It's a Christian-based talk show where Annie interviews all sorts of people about their faith, and they're not just people who, are pastors or who, make their living living out their faith. In fact, she had a great interview with Harry Connick Jr. I forgot how much I love that man, his music, and him as a person. But last week, while I'm cooking, I'm listening to her as she interviews Pastor Francis Chan. Now, some of you have maybe read some of Francis' books, Crazy Love, The Forgotten God. He is also featured on our Right Now Media website, which you all have a free subscription to. And like I said, he's just written dozens of books. And he has a new book out called Until Unity. Now, I haven't read it. I now want to read it because I listened to him talk about it with Annie on this podcast. And because I believe it's incredibly relevant for all of us these days. But what grabbed my attention and my heart during this interview was what Francis said about disunity among God's people. First of all, we see it all over the place in private and public relationships. I mean, I can't tell you how many threads of conversations I see online where Christians are just tearing up other people. And you've probably seen it too. Maybe even participated in it. Have you noticed that it just seems like everyone is so intent on demeaning and degrading anyone who doesn't agree with what they believe? And certainly, we see it when Christians are talking about national politics. And now, I'm not saying we shouldn't speak faithfully into national or world concerns, but the level of hate speech, in my opinion, is astounding. And I'm not talking about conversations between Christians and non-believers. I'm talking about like-minded believers of Jesus Christ. Sadly, we can't even model appropriate dialogue in a public setting among Christian followers. And it seems like argumentative verbiage has grown increasingly visible through the pandemic and a contentious national election last November. And I'll tell you, there are some days where it seems like non-Christians have a kinder, more tolerant way of accepting others different from them than, well, those of us that proclaim to be Christian. During the podcast, Francis Chan shares with Annie that everyone who calls themselves Christians must look at other people and see Christ abiding in each person. It's not that we only recognize that Christ abides in us, but that we acknowledge that Christ abides in others too. Christ abides in every person who may not live life like we think it should be lived. And Christ abides in every person who looks physically different from us. Christ abides in every person God created. We can't believe that Christ abides in us and then stops there. If Christ abides in us, Christ abides in all people. Francis goes on to explain to those listening to the podcast that if we were to remember that the Holy Spirit of God resides in every single person, we would be more cautious to condemn them. Imagine if Christians would speak to one another and those outside the church walls as if they were directly speaking to Christ. How do you think our conversations would change? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. If we ever need the Lord, it is now, because Christians can't even love in word or speech at the moment. No wonder we don't see people running to churches for a visit, because the Christian community at a private and public level can't even speak to one another with God's love. Last week, I shared there are statistics showing that God's people are experiencing a higher level of isolation, anxiety, and depression due to the lack of socialization they have experienced during the pandemic. And I also mentioned that God's church has an opportunity to offer a space where people can feel welcomed, safe, and loved. I truly believe that opportunity is coming, but we won't be ready until we intentionally do two things. First, it begins with us personally abiding in Christ by practicing spiritual disciplines. And secondly, acknowledging the presence of God abiding in the people all around us, especially with those we don't agree with. Learning to do these two things will help us to be faithful to Christ's commandment to love your neighbors as yourself. Enacting these two things will help us not only show our love through our words and speech, but in truth and action. Friends, we can all do better. As I have expressed to the five members of this confirmation class, our faith journey is never over and should never be stagnant. There is always more to learn about our faith and our relationship with God and one another. And today might be the day we just need to acknowledge to God and one another that we are still learning to be faithful disciples. And there's nothing wrong with acknowledging we still have much to learn from the work of the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's a matter of reminding ourselves we have a few things to learn before we can tell others what they need to know. Lately, I've been feeling compelled to try and to be more conscientious about what I am saying to and about other people by acknowledging that God dwells in them as much as God dwells in me. Maybe working on this practice is something that you would like to join me in trying to do. But let us remember this day and every day that God abides in each of us. We are called to acknowledge that in our words and speech and in our deeds and action. Amen. I invite you to stand if you are able and join with me in our song.